this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'd just like to welcome all of you here this morning, and I really want to thank the leadership for giving me an opportunity to bring the word this morning. And the word that I'm going to bring, we can quickly pray for the offering. You can someone also bless it on, that's fine. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the offering, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can just bring that before you. And thank you, Jesus, that is a resemblance, Lord God, of where we want our heart to be, Lord God, to follow you, Lord God. We want to put our hearts in that offering, Lord God, to follow you with everything that is in us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can speak a blessing over that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, before we get there, my name is Eugene, and I came to know Jesus about 13 years ago, and there's some people here that's testament to what my life was before I knew Jesus and how my life was after I met Jesus. But before we get there, I just want to thank Pastor Heinrich and Pastor Theo, who's not here this morning. They are on mission. And yeah, I just want to thank them for the opportunity that they have given me to come bring the word. Now, the word that I'm going to bring this morning is related to fear. And Marulai brought a good testimony of what fear has done in her life and how rampant that was in her life. And this morning, I also want to share some testimonies with regards to fear, because in the build-up to preaching this word, there was a lot of people that has come to me and said that they are struggling with fear. There's even some of us that struggle with fear of our children going missing. And for many, that's a reality with all the things that is going out around us. Some struggling with the fear of burglaries. Some of us are struggling with fear of failures, struggling with the fear of what's happening in our country, what's happening in the world, the economy. There's so many things that we can fear, but we'll get there just a bit later. So just a bit about myself. If you've done the parenting course, these different profiles that you fit into. And if you haven't done the parenting course, please go and do it, because it's really life-changing. Hey, Yaku? but there's two. I can access all four of the areas that they explain in this parenting course. But the two that's more prominent in my life is a palm and a den. Now, they are quite opposites. A palm is a person that is very exuberant and always exciting and playful and joyful and going out. And the den is somebody that is more reserved, more quiet, listens, waits for other people to say something. So I've got both of those that operates in me. But I've got a flip switch. My natural is to go like more quiet in a conversation, even to speak to a lot of people. It was a big fear. But even in one-on-one conversations, I would be the one that ends up listening more than what I actually speak. But I've got a flip switch. And when that flip switch come, I turn into a clown. Just everything is funny. So I had some of the waiters at Woolies on Tuesday evening. I had them in stitches. They couldn't stop laughing, because it was just one joke after the next joke. But I'm married. I've got two beautiful boys. The one is turning 3 and the other one is turning 5. And they've really changed my life. They're really amazing. And the other thing that I can say about myself is that I'm a very loyal person. I've been in all the friendships that I've got. My close friends are still my close friends. From 13 years ago when I came to salvation, those same friends are still surrounding me. She spoke about Bernie just earlier. He's one of the pastors in Rondebosch. I've got another close friend that's sitting there at the back, Robert. And these buddies of mine, they stick closer than a brother. And if you don't have friends like that, go and get friends like that. Because when it goes tough, those are the guys that you access and that you ask to pray for you. The topic that we're going to spend some time on is on fear going to faith. And that is quite a topic that is very, very close to my heart, because I've got a hate for fear. I have got a dislike for fear because I've seen the damage that fear has done, but we'll get there later. The other things that I can say about myself is that my gift of the Father is that I'm an exhorter. I'm also an evangelist, and my Holy Spirit gifting is to walk in the word of knowledge. Now, each one of us that is sitting here should know what we are grounded in. And once we know what we are grounded in and who we grounded in, can we take the next step? And it's very sad that there are so many people that take their whole life and they haven't figured out what their destiny is, what the call is that God has on their life. And I just want to say that if you know where you are grounded and where you are going, it just makes life so much easier. So before we continue, I would just like to pray for the mission teams. There's one mission team that's going to Pietermaritzburg next week, and then we've got a mission team that is coming back from Springbok. And they had an amazing time in Springbok. A lot of things happened. So if we can just 2-2 or 3-3, just turn to each other and really bring them before the Lord. Heinrich is preaching this morning now. So if we can just turn 2-2. And just pray for the team that is in Springbok. Okay. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the ones that are on mission, Lord God, that is following, Lord, what you have said and what you have, where you have sent them, Lord God. We just speak your blessing over them, Lord God, and every seed, Lord, that has been planted, Lord. We speak and we ask in the name of Jesus that every seed will grow into trees and that they will have grow fruits 30, 60, and 100 fold in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for every new birth, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person that has been filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person that has been set free. And we ask now in the name of Jesus that Springbok will come to salvation. Lord, that you will bring that whole town, that whole Northern Cape, Lord, the whole South Africa, Lord God, to salvation, to the knowledge of who Christ is. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can pray and that we can step in that place, Lord God, where you are, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you for quietness. Thank you for freedom, Lord. And we just speak your love over Springbok now. And we ask, Jesus, that you bring Pastor Heinrich and the team, that you will bring them safely back. And Lord, that we will send the team that is going under the leadership of Umyan, Lord, that they will go in peace and that they will be received in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that lives will be touched. Thank you, Lord, that you are the provision in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just quickly want to show a clip, and I think Robert, you will appreciate this little clip that I'm going to show. That is one of the heaviest waves in the world. Okay, Etienne. That is one of the heaviest waves in the world. And for most of us, including myself, that pick could bring a lot of fear. To have courage to stand up on a wave like that is, I can say, it's almost supernatural. But to fall like that and to get up like that and do it again, that is amazing. That's mind-boggling. So this morning, if we can go to the first slide. Fear is one of the enemy's main weapons of destruction. Because through fear, he comes and he brings a lie, and once we believe that lie, we actually give control over to him. Fear is the thing that keeps unbelievers out of the kingdom, because they fear for what is coming. They fear for giving their life over. Fear is also the thing that keeps Christians in chains, because as long as we are in absolute fear, we are bound by chains. Fear attacks relationships and identity in Christ. This list is not the full list. There are many more things, but I want to focus on these things. Fear comes and fear breaks down our relationship. And firstly, it breaks our relationship with God. And then it breaks down our relationship with each other and even ourselves. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The other thing that I can say about fear is that it plays dirty. It's one of those things, if you expect a certain thing, fear has always got a way to play not by the book. And That's why we need to come to Christ, because He has got all authority. If we can go to the next slide. What is the breeding ground for fear? It's when we step into a place of control where we want to control a situation. Then we immediately open a door for the enemy to control the situation. It's different than the authority that we have in Christ. Because when we try to keep the control, then we want to change that specific situation. I've been driving, I was driving to work about seven, eight years ago, and I've had many experiences as we go along. I will tell you some of these experiences that I've had with fear. Fears, since I came to salvation in 2003, fear has been something that has been very prominent in trying to keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do. So I was driving to work one day, and I had quite a tough day at work, and in the middle of the day I had to go home because I forgot something. I had to go home, and then while I was driving, my boss phoned me and he told me, "Did you do this?" And then I said, "No, I've already done that. It's all sorted. But did you really do it?" And I was really at a bad place, because I definitely did what was asked for, but it was a place where he just didn't trust what I said. And as I was driving on and was just fighting this thing that why is he not trusting me, then the Lord came with a very sobering thought, and he said, the same way that he doesn't trust you, you don't trust me. And it took me many years to actually work through that thing of trust. I remember one specific morning, I was driving to work, and I was so scared to go to work because I didn't know what was going to go wrong that day. My perception was something was going to go wrong. And I was fearful, like, you know those cartoons that you get and you see those little pictures and their knees go like this? Have you guys seen that? That actually happened with me. While I was busy driving, the spirit of fear came over me and my knees literally started to shake. It was the most frightening, most fearful situation that anybody could be in. But fortunately, I decided I'm not going to go to work. I phoned my one friend that Marilei also mentioned earlier, and I said, "Listen, Bernie, I'm on my way to work, and this spirit of fear is really attacking me, and I'm coming to you because we need to pray about this situation." And this is not something that I do often. I can, in the 13 years that I've been at the company, I can probably remember less than a handful of times that I have actually been absent. So I decided, well, this thing needs to be broken. So I went to Bernie, and we prayed about this fear thing, and I was just at that point, just delivered from that spirit of fear that tried to occupy my life. But that was not necessarily the end of fearful situations. So when we try and control that situation ourselves, then we leave a big door open for Christ not to control. We need to come to that place where we give Christ the control. Once we give Christ the control, He gives us the authority for any situation. So I'm going to say that again. When we take control of a situation and we don't give Christ the control, we need to give Christ the control. Because when we give Christ the control, then we step into a place of authority over whatever that situation is. Many times, it's our emotional state if we have a low esteem. And when we start to believe the feeling, if we believe the feeling, that's one thing that I've learned through a number of experiences, that if we're going to start to trust the feeling, then we're going to end up in the wrong place. Because our feelings do change from time to time. We can't be trusting in our feelings. So whenever I trusted in a feeling of fear or a feeling of despair, I had to ask those same friends to come around me and pray for me so that I can come to a place where I surrender to Christ so that He can take control over that situation. Fear, unbelief. When we don't have any trust, then that leads to fear. Constant worry. Many times our expectation is that we're going to lose. And whenever our expectation is that we're going to lose, then we don't give an opportunity for God to actually come in and to move. Negative patterns that repeat itself. Sometimes there's a curse. Sometimes there's a spirit of fear. Sometimes there's negative words and our expectations. Past failures. That's also something that brings a lot of fear. Like, for instance, that guy that fell off that surfboard. That could either bring him to a place of not going there again, or it could bring him to a place of going there again and conquering that fear. Earlier this week, Daniel, I was at work, and Daniel went with a lady that works by us. She went to go and visit my parents, and he took his little scooter, and there's a long, nice piece of tar, and he took his little scooter, and he came off his scooter, and he had his first roasty. I don't know if you guys can remember those roasties, but when you hit the tar and it's like all blood and it's like really, really sore, those evenings that you get in that bath and that's probably one of the worst things is those roasties. But when I got home that evening, I gave him a high five. Because it's not that I don't love him. I love him extremely much. But I'm so glad that he has overcome his first fall. Because when we overcome our first fall, we learn. And we take it to the next step. So one day maybe Daniel will be a skateboarding star, a surfing star, whatever star. But it's standing up from that place that you have fallen and trusting God for that aina to be healed and to be healed properly. Because many times those fearful situations that we experience causes us not to go back there because it's too painful. We don't want to go there because we have been hurt. And my message this morning is go to those places that hasn't been conquered, because we need to conquer those places. We're going to get to the secret just now. So are we edging in or edging out our past failures? That is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Are we edging them in or edging them out? Because God wants to heal the places where we have fallen. Now, this morning, the bottom line of this whole message, Marilei touched on it a bit earlier, is I start with the beginning and I start with the end of the message, literally one after the other. If we read in 2 Timothy 1:6-7, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Who is our perfect example of love? Who's the one that is victorious in love? Jesus. Let's read that scripture again. There is no fear in Christ, but perfect Christ cast out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in Christ. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. And this love is the key to the antidote to move us from a place of fear to a place of faith, is when we come and when we are reminded that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this morning, I want us to draw closer to the lover of our souls, to the one that can really make a difference, to the one that can change and that can take fear away. About 3 years ago, I had a very, very difficult situation that we went through. Our little one was just born, the second one. He was about 10 days old, and Delita woke up one morning, and she said, she's got terrible pain. Now, my threshold for pain is like way down there. I mean, you can just, with her, it is, I mean, she has to endure a lot of pain. Most women, their pain threshold is much higher than men. So she told me, listen, I think I need to go to the hospital. I've got a massive pain here on the side of my body. And I think it is my appendix, but I'm not sure. I Googled this, but let's go to the hospital. And so we packed up everything. We phoned my mother, and fortunately my mother lives close by, and she came to look after the other one, and the three of us went to the hospital, and immediately they put her on a drip. And the following morning, it was during that morning, the same morning, we went for scans. I mean, the first challenge that we had was that this baby still is 10 days old, so we don't want to go to a general ward. We want to go where we just came from, to the maternity ward. So they didn't have space anywhere in the hospital for her, but in the maternity ward. So we ended up in the maternity ward with this little one. So we went for a lot of tests, and all the tests came back, and they were sort of inconclusive of what was wrong. They didn't check at the appendix, or they checked it, but everything looked fine. And then the following morning, she was about to go for more tests, and then they told us, but the equipment broke now. She can't go for more tests. We just have to see what happens. And at that time, I realized something is not right here. This is not normal. How all of a sudden can everything just not work? So in any case, so we slept the evening and the pain just went just worse. And fortunately, I could sleep with her. There was a bed next to her, so I could stay in the room. And the champion that my wife is, she kept on breastfeeding that little one throughout this whole ordeal. I mean, I don't know where the milk came from because she didn't eat anything, but she just kept on going. Then the following morning, they said, sorry, the machine is still broken. So then I got a bit upset and I said, well, and also one of the nurses came into the room and she said, sir, have you settled your account for boarding and lodging? And I thought, my wife is busy dying here and you haven't told me about boarding and lodging, but in any case, can I please speak to the manager of the hospital? So I ended up speaking to the manager of the hospital and I told him, listen, my wife is sick. We need to make a plan. We need to get these tests done. What can we do? Well, the parts are coming from Germany and we just have to wait it out. He said, can't we send it to one of the other branches? So he said, yeah, you can take it to another hospital. And I thought, yo, that's quite rough. I must take it to another hospital. There's no ambulance or anything like that because the previous evening was quite rough. So we ended up, packed everything up. We went to another branch and we got the test done. Fortunately, the little one was really amazing. He was not crying, not giving us any hassles. And Talita went through all the tests and we packed up and we went back to our hospital. And on our way to the hospital, she started to vomit. Like, the stuff is coming out. It is just chaos. I'm driving like 160. I'm phoning them, please get just a bed ready. My wife is literally, she's really in a bad space. So we ended back at the hospital. And then when we got there, everything sort of calmed down and she was a bit better. But when we got to our room, they said, did you not check your phone? And I said, no, I was driving. So they said, they made a mistake. We need to go back because they still need to run further tests on my wife. Now at that stage, I was really, really upset. And I didn't really have a choice in the matter because if they needed to do some further tests and that can help my wife, then that is what we need to do. So we went, packed up everything, went back to the hospital. Got there, got to the scan area, and then they told us, you won't believe it, they told us, sorry, we made a mistake, you shouldn't have come back. So, there I just decided, this is not going to go further, and I told the guys, I want to know who's responsible for the decision, and I want to speak to both the doctors, I want to speak to the head of the unit, and my wife is not going to leave this room until we've got some clarity over this matter. But it's all of this indicates this is more than just a natural coincidence. This is a spiritual fight that we are fighting. So we go back to our hospital with no further test, and that evening my wife hasn't gone to the bathroom yet. So that evening, she asked for one of the nurses to bring the pan so that she can just relieve herself. So I call help, and the nurse comes, and she tells me, no, she must get up and go to the bathroom herself. But if she needs help, then they will come and help. That evening, at about 10 o'clock, my father phoned. I phoned all my friends that is in the medical profession. I asked them what's going on because they thought it was a kidney stone that she was passing. And we all thought it was that, and one of the doctors thought it was something else, but it was something that will pass through. So I can remember that evening so clearly because I went to sit next to her on the bed. And the one thing that I could remember was one of my, there's a testimony of a couple that lost their child. And the first thing that they did after they lost their child, they went to worship God. So that evening, I decided I'm going to worship God. I'm going to draw close to Him. And it is in that place where we draw close to Him, where we go to the one that is in all authority, that has got all authority. When we don't try and fight this fight in flesh and with a fight. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities. And that evening, I started to worship. And it was a Thursday evening, and the Friday morning, the gynecologist decided, well, they're going to take it to theater because maybe it's something that went wrong after she had the C-section. Maybe it's stuff that was left behind. Whatever it was, they decided then to open her up. And when they opened her up, the gynecologist discovered that there's nothing wrong where she worked. It was actually an appendix that burst. And fortunately, by the grace of God, that appendix, all the poison that is in that appendix, it spread only into a little area. If that had spread to her whole body, it would have turned into septicemia, which is something that you hardly in the natural recover from. But it was in that place of drawing close to God, giving control to God, giving Him that space to come and sort out. People ask, so are you going to sue the hospital? Are you going to do this? Are you going to sue? No, God is in control. When we go to Him and we give Him the control, we move away from that place of having fear to having faith, but in love. That is when things start to change. So, if we go to the next scripture. So, the breeding ground for faith is both faith and fear is a belief or an expectation for something to happen. And I just love Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is just so full of stories of what God can do against the odds. When the odds are against you, come to God because God works against the odds. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. And when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. Can you imagine that? They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Can you imagine all the Israelites telling Moses, we're going to die? And Moses comes and he stands in faith. And God opens that Red Sea. What is your Red Sea? And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and sourcing. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the word was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. God's word. Spend time in God's word to build faith. So then, Romans 17:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is one thing that has changed my life completely, is spending time in God's word. For the past couple of years, I get up early in the morning to spend time with God. My life was busy before that. But I made time, not because somebody told me you must, but because I wanted to draw close to God. I wanted to draw close to His heartbeat. And His heartbeat is in Scripture. We must also never forget our armor. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, or against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all that, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Spending time with God. Then Luke 12:25, who by worrying can add a single hour to your life? As a matter of fact, that scripture can also read the other way around. If you want to subtract days from your life, you must worry. Worry, stress, it's related to fear. It's related to who we trust and who we believe to be in charge. Whenever I'm afraid, David says, and that's one place where we really come to somebody's heart that has experienced a lot of fear in his life. And that's in the Psalms. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. To pray. When we draw close to God in prayer, I can tell you of many evenings that I've been woken by immense fearful thoughts of things that is going to go wrong, that in my mind has been so consumed with things that could go wrong. And then when I come to that place where I start to pray with my understanding and pray in the Spirit, when we come to that place where we just surrender and we make peace and we give control to God, that is when we can allow Him to take over and do things. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That's also one thing. A couple of weeks ago, I went through a time where I had a fear of losing my job. And if I looked at the financials of the business that I'm responsible for, it's a real definite threat. And this threat occupied my mind. I even shared it with some people that I might lose my job. Our staff went down from about 35 people to 24 people within 5 weeks. It just happened. Like, and there was a number of reasons for that to happen. But I thought, this is it. So I shared this with one of my friends, and he said, well, we're going to prophesy over these customers of yours, and we're going to claim that those orders will come into your business. I'm not an owner of the business. I'm just responsible for the business. In any event, so we prayed and we prophesied to the customers, and we came to a place where we gave Jesus the authority, and we stepped into that place of authority, and we commanded that the orders will come in the name of Jesus. And what made matters a bit more difficult was that I was about to go on a 2-week holiday. So when really to go on to holiday, because that's actually the time when God steps in and He changes. From when I left and I came back, from that day, that company is in a different space. Everything in the Spirit in that company changed. From the vibe on the floor of how the people felt to how they feel now. There was orders that we were expecting later in the year that the customers fast-forwarded to in the time when I left. They started to produce the orders. And from a definite dire situation, something good happened. Something that was facing me, God just came and He said, no man, this is small stuff. We sort this stuff out. One time, quick. But we have to come to Him, and we have to give Him that place where He can be having authority. Last year, one of our other companies, which I also worked for, we ended up importing, it was 2 years ago, we ended up importing too much material. And the MD found out about it, and he was furious because our stock situation was keeping, all our money was now tied up in stock. We couldn't really move. And literally, after we got all that stock, the stock market started to crash. And the rand devalued tremendously. So if we didn't have that stock, we would have had very expensive stock if we had to import at a later stage our raw materials. So God comes and He changes things around. Things that stares us in the face that we think is impossible to bridge. Jesus comes and He changes them around when we give it to Him. He's in control when we give Him control. Renew your mind. If you have been in an area where there's constant fear that is coming and it is just eating you up, and I want you to focus on Scripture, come back to your first love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And come to a place which is in Scripture in Romans 12 verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Surrender to Christ. He fights to win. He expects to win. He wins. He is win. 1 John 5:4-5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Do you know when God's commandments are not burdensome? Do you know when that is? When we're in love with Him. When I came to salvation, literally a day before I came to salvation, I smoked a packet of cigarettes. I drank too much. I used drugs. I had wrong relationships. And I was sick. And within one day, God changed that. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So, this morning, I want us to have communion. If the band can come up, please. And I want you to have communion and bring whatever those fearful situations are that you are facing, to bring it to God. And through this communion, we're going to declare that Jesus is our first love. Because through all the testimonies that I shared, it was when I got to that place where Jesus is my first love. That's where things started to change. When I gave control to Jesus. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So as they hand out the offering, we're just going to spend some time with God, and I'm going to ask the band if they can just lead us in worship, and we just come to that place of quietness where God can really speak to us. What are those fears? What are the mountains that we are facing? And once we are finished with the communion, I would like, if there's any of you that would like me to pray with you for any situation. God spoke to me this morning, and there's somebody here that that is actually ashamed of fear. They believe that fear has captured them in such a way that they are ashamed of it. They're fearful. Somebody here is very fearful for your work environment. There's somebody here that has a river of fear that is flowing in their deepest. And we're going to trust the Lord this morning for deliverance and for bringing us to a place of love. I can tell you many more stories of what fear has done, but this morning love will conquer and move us to faith. Is there anybody that doesn't have communion yet? I'm going to pray for the communion, but after I've prayed for the communion, on your own time you can have communion, but bring those things to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you this morning, Lord, and that we can declare that you are our first love. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken because you loved us. Thank you that your blood has been poured out so that we can come to the knowledge of who Christ is. Lord Jesus, as we take communion this morning, we come to you, Jesus. Every fear, go. In the name of Jesus. Every fear be removed and love be placed in our hearts. Let us turn around to the lover of our souls. In the name of Jesus. Yes, while we're going to worship now, if any of you would like to come forward for prayer, even if you have not decided to follow Christ, if fear is keeping you out of the kingdom, I want you to come because Jesus wants to give you a new life this morning.
Thank you for the grace that let me home, the love.
If there's anybody that would like, they haven't been released to pray in the Spirit, if you can come forward and we're going to pray and trust the Lord that you be released in the Holy Spirit. For the other guys that would like to leave, you are welcome to leave, and welcome to our new visitors. You're welcome to stay. Just stay in the presence of God. So, thank you for listening. May Jesus be the center of your life. May we walk in our first love and conquer fear through His love.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.